We are broadcasting from the end of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, the UFO convention here, the Ozark UFO convention. I always love coming here because of the fact that I always get to meet a lot of people from Oklahoma, my home area. And I used to work in Oklahoma City at WKY and KMOA and a couple of the stations. Couldn't hold a job. But anyway,
no. Birthdays this weekend.
Yeah, he's older than me.
So. Is he? Yeah.
Mentions Danny Williams. Your name is?
Jerry Spence.
And do you spell it like the lawyer?
No.
Okay, you spell it like me, Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y. That's a good way.
That's the best way.
Yeah. And this is the first time you've been to one of these conferences?
Yes, sir.
You were telling me just a second ago before we started recording here that you had a sighting.
Yeah, I'd seen a UFO in Oklahoma City over I-35.
And this was back, what, 64, 65?
It's anywhere from 63 to 65, I'm real sure about that.
You know, the reason I mentioned the date is because there was a huge flap over the Midwest, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Panhandle of Texas back in 1965. But there were things that led up to it. Tell us a little bit about your sighting.
Well, I was a young boy, and I was out in the front yard playing, goofing to whatever a young boy's doing.
He's a lot younger than me, folks, because in 64 I was but I'm younger than Danny Williams, so go ahead.
We don't need to tell the age, but anyhow, I got up and looked over, and you could see I-35 from my front yard, and there was an object over the top of I-35. And the longer I looked, the more people in the neighborhood came out. And my dad even came out, and he stated a weather balloon. And I looked at Dad thinking, at the young age I was, this is probably the first time I disagreed with my dad. But, Dad, that's not no weather balloon.
It was a disc shape or what?
It looked like a gold ball.
Okay, round, just like a ball.
Just a gold ball hanging over I-35. It zipped in, dropped down, then angled up and stopped.
Now, was this I-35 South or I-35 North up toward Edmonds?
Well, it's between 36th Street and 44th Street.
Okay, I know where the south side.
Yeah, south. Yeah, it would be south.
Yeah, and the reason I mention that is because I met you on the south side of Oklahoma City at Chastain's, I think.
It might have been.
About 1972 or so. Mm-hmm. I was just in there doing research on music. What's your name?
Bill May.
Okay, and Bill and I correspond all the time on the on the web by email. Did you make it to Laughlin?
Yeah, just for one day, just briefly.
And you didn't say hello to me. You might have waved at me.
I waved at you.
Yeah, right, but that was about it. We were pretty busy. We had nonstop tapings here.
Yep, you were a busy boy.
Now, tell me a little bit about your sighting. You have one, too.
Well,
you had more than one.
And I think it was just one in that same time frame in the mid-60s. It was the summer of 64, and I was riding in a pickup truck with my parents, and I was riding shotgun, and I was looking out the window just kind of daydreaming, and the sky was clear as a bell. There was nothing in the sky, no clouds, no planes, nothing, except straight overhead, and there was a long cylinder-shaped object. It could have been a jet with a short vapor trail, except that it did not move. It stayed in the same place. I observed it for maybe 30 minutes between like Eufaula and Seminole. I kept telling my parents to look at it, that there was something up there that, you know, a UFO type thing, something where I couldn't explain, didn't believe it was a plane. And they kept saying, oh, it's just a cloud, oh, it's just a vapor trail, don't worry about it. And they would not look. And I thought that was strange at the time, and I still do.
Now, have you had any sightings recently or any experiences?
Not really, no.
And you haven't either, right?
No, but I know someone that's close to me that they seen something in Texas.
Recently?
No, it's not real recent.
So
last 20 years.
It comes up. Do you ever mention your sightings, or do you have to wait till somebody else mentions it?
Oh, no. I mean, when people talk about UFOs, I'll mention mine.
And how about you, Bill? You made it all the way out to Laughlin. You come to these conferences. You find anything interesting these days in these conferences? Anything really good?
Yeah, well, I've always been interested in this subject ever since I was a little kid. I don't know why. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that I was born in 47. and fixing to turn the big.
All these guys are rubbing this in about that.
Yeah.
Hanging around younger men.
And events happen.
I like hanging around younger women better.
Just lead me to be interested in the subject. I should have got interested in it a little bit more while I was in the Navy, and maybe I could have learned something because I spent 3 years on the bombing range at Fallon, Nevada.
Ah, yeah, in the Navy, you know, they do a lot of research out there in the middle of the desert. They're always talking about the Air Force out there, but the Navy's got quite a presence.
Navy's got a lot. The Air Force had to do an emergency engine change on an SR-71 at our base in 68. And we got to
watch the Blackbird, huh?
The Blackbird, and we got to watch the whole thing. And we were cleared for secret, and we had a vault and files and all that stuff. And we didn't have any idea that thing existed until they landed it on our runway. And they told us a cover story that it was flying out of McClellan, which is north of Sacramento. And we just bought right into it, and we had no idea there was an Area 51 then. I didn't know there was an Area 51 until I moved to Las Vegas in 88.
Now, when you saw this Blackbird land, did it make a lot of noise?
I didn't actually see the landing. It came in on one engine, and they had to do an engine change out there. And I guess it was able to land pretty good. But
It's interesting you guys would have an engine. I guess they shipped the engine in.
They brought the engine in a 141, a C-141. That was before C-5As were built. And they brought another C-41 full of security guards. They brought in a starting unit that had four nailhead Buick engines in it that they had to synchronize. And this one guy, I was more interested in that than I was the plane.
Yeah, because that was more of your field, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a gearhead. I'm a car nut, and I like hot rods and Harleys and stuff of that nature. And I was an avionics technician, but my aptitude was more mechanical.
You know, I'm not knocking the Air Force at all, but the real UFO secrets seem to have been developed by the Navy.
Naval Intelligence, the name Naval Intelligence always comes up when you're mentioning UFOs.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go to your conference. Who's your favorite speaker so far you've seen?
Just got here.
Just got here. Okay, we haven't seen anything yet. Okay, well, I better let you get in there then. It's nice to meet both of you, and nice to talk about Oklahoma City again. Okay. Some interesting Oklahoma people. We're going down south to Texas next as we continue with the UFO Files live from Eureka Springs, Arkansas at the Ozark UFO Conference. Don't go away.
Major sightings are weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix recently, and no one seems to be able to explain what it was. And now,
suddenly, six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There is a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. It gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing new.
Winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kitar, The Phoenix Lights, is now available from ShotJerryPippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited. Jerry Pippin, and we are, of course, at the end of the Ozarks, and we're broadcasting from the Ozark UFO Conference. And we have a man here who's, he's not, I did a couple of Oklahoma people, but he's next door. He's in Texas. Joe Lules, and Joe, you have a book out that Galdi Press has out called, I love the title. It's called Rulers of the Earth.
Yes, that just came out this weekend. It had its inauguration here at the Ozark Conference. It's basically a continuation of a book that I wrote 10 years ago called The God Hypothesis. The God Hypothesis came out in 97.
Yeah, and I'm quite familiar with that book, by the way, because I used to have a person that emailed me from El Paso who would talk about your book.
Oh.
and so this is more or less a sequel.
It is a sequel, yes. It's a continuation, really. Uh-huh. Because the God Hypothesis was the story of my entry into UFO research in 1993. And this is the continuing journey of one man's findings. No budget research, volunteers only. But
sounds like my operation.
Yeah. And, you know, we didn't start out with the notion that we were going to be able to resolve the UFO issue. All we wanted to do was learn as much about it as we could. And we were particularly interested in this thing called alien abduction. So I formed a team of, we had a psychiatrist, we had a couple of hypnotherapists, and we started a MUFON chapter, a Mutual UFO Network.
Sure.
Chapter, and we started having meetings, and before long we had people lined up who had said that they had had contact with non-human entities. And so we began to do psychiatric evaluations on them first, and then if they passed that, we would begin to investigate their stories. Upon occasion, when necessary, if they felt the need to recover repressed memories, we would conduct hypnosis sessions for them to be able to pull out the information that was missing.
Now, are you a regression therapist yourself?
I am. I wasn't at the time.
Okay.
I first started out by being an observer. My background was in journalism, so I felt like I was the reporter. The psychiatrist was the expert on who's crazy and who's not. The hypnotherapists were certified. They knew what they were doing. So as a team, we had a pretty good team. And I began to sit in on the hypnosis sessions, and I was absolutely blown away by what was coming out during these sessions.
And you mentioned you were a journalist, so naturally you probably got a little skepticism built into your system completely.
Yes, yeah. I would say that I am a skeptic of everything.
And so all of us, and obviously you were blown away when you sit in these hypnotherapy sessions.
Yes.
What did you make of it at first? Did you have a hypothesis yourself before you wrote the God Hypothesis?
Yeah, well, when I first got into it, I thought, like most people think, I guess, what was in the media, that we were being visited by alien beings from other planets. They'd been here for about 50 years or so studying us. I had seen a UFO when I was a military pilot. In 1969, I'd just gotten back from Vietnam. I was an Army aviator.
Uh-huh.
I flew bird dogs, spotter planes in Vietnam.
Yep.
And I had a nighttime sighting of an orange orb near the Florida-Alabama border. I was with my boss. He was a colonel. I was a captain. We'd both just come back from Vietnam.
Was that at Fort Rucker?
This was at Fort Rucker, Alabama,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
And we were just flying to get 3 hours of flying time. And
sure.
We flew down toward the Florida border and then came back. And this orange orb just floating in the sky, motionless, big thing, but it was high up. We couldn't tell how high or how far, but it was, we just couldn't identify it. There was nothing that we had ever seen that was like that. And we made no report, because what do you say about something like that? There's really, you don't want to start a bunch of paperwork over nothing. We couldn't, it never got close. It did seem to follow us around. So we just left it at that, but it left me with this big question mark in the back of my mind. You know, what was that thing? And so I was open to the notion that there was something out there. I just really didn't understand what it might be.
And now you've written two books about it.
Right, two books.
And the second book, and even the God Hypothesis, which is a great title. I always thought that was a great title.
Yeah, well, it's not my term. It's actually the Reverend Barry Downing, Presbyterian minister from upstate New York, who coined that term, the God Hypothesis, as a way of referring to some hypothesis that is contrary to the ET hypothesis, because the ET hypothesis is for me too simple. I mean, it basically says that about 50 years or 60 years ago, beings from other planets traveled across millions of light years of space, and they happened to get here just by coincidence at the time that we were developing nuclear weapons. I think that's a very odd coincidence, and probably the odds against that happening are a gazillion to one. So that began not to make any sense to me, particularly because of the data that we were gathering from our subjects.
So what have you decided?
Well, what I decided was that after
years of work.
Well, it's always a progress in work at work, but work in progress. But yeah. I have reached a conclusion that the UFO phenomenon is much, much, much older than just the last 50, 60 years. I think there's plenty of evidence that shows that UFOs have been around here for at least thousands of years and probably for millions of years. And I see in modern science the beginnings of understanding how that could be. I've been very interested in the development of the science of genetics and genetic engineering, the science of DNA and the plotting of the human genome. And I find really some big inconsistencies in what modern science is finding and what we've been told about the origins of the human race. I think there's a big mystery there.
And have you solved the mystery?
Maybe not solved it, but I think that I'm getting close to understanding it, at least for myself. I can't maybe not prove it to everybody else. But
reason I'm asking this is the second title, Rulers of the Earth.
Yeah.
That's a title that gets all kinds of things going in your mind.
Yeah.
And these entities that you're talking about that you saw in hypnotherapy and whatever they talk... Are they angels or demons or what's happening here?
Good question. They've been called so many things.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
We call them aliens or extraterrestrials today, maybe interdimensionals. But in ancient times, for example, the Egyptians called them the Neteru, the guardians. That's a pretty good term. The Hebrews in the sacred books of Enoch called them the Watchers, the Sumerians and the Babylonians called them the Anunnaki, the Aborigines called them the Wangina. In every culture, they've been called by different names, but I believe that we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about beings who have been here since the creation, were involved in the genetic manipulation of terrestrial beings that were available at the time, such as the ape, who were involved in the creation of the human species and who have monitored and tinkered with us ever since. And that is a much bigger story than aliens coming from other planets to visit us.
And we talk about, and we've done shows on biblical history and connecting that and the giant race that came and took the women, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, the Watchers.
And it seems that's also in other, as you mentioned, as you laid out your little litany there, it's been throughout history.
Yeah. And, a lot of researchers in UFO field have pretty much come to the same conclusion. I was impressed by Jim Sparks' presentation here. He's a experiencer. He's had experience with these beings consciously for many, many years and hasn't even needed hypnosis. And I've run into people like that. And his new book is called The Keepers. I think it's the same concept, okay?
Yeah.
Dolores Cannon wrote a book about UFO beings, and she calls them the custodians. So whether you call them the custodians, the guardians, the keepers, the watchers, I think we're all getting at the same thing. There are beings who have watched over the human race since it started, who see it as an experiment. And my perspective is that they not only watch over the physical evolution of life on Earth, but also the spiritual evolution.
We'll follow that up when we come right back on after the break. Joe Lewis is our guest, and of course his latest book from Galdi Press is Rulers of the Earth, and we'll find out exactly what we're talking about here, so don't go away.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown, every month in Fate Magazine.
Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. We are at the Eureka Springs Conference. Actually, it's called the Ozark UFO Conference, and we come here every year. We're at the end of the Ozarks. I'm Jerry Pippin. Joe Lewis is our guest right now. We're talking about his book, Rulers of the Earth. He had a presentation here at the conference. And basically, if you're listening to the first segment, you understand that what he's saying goes hand in hand with other guests we've had on as well. Jim Sparks, for instance, we just mentioned. And this seems to be more and more acceptable in the UFO and paranormal community.
Right, yeah. I think that just in the last 10 years or so, there has been a growing acceptance of this concept that the ET hypothesis just doesn't work. It's too narrow. And truly, once you look into the history of UFOs, you cannot deny that there have been UFOs around for millennia. And, you know, that kind of destroys the ET hypothesis, because what kind of an alien invasion takes thousands of years? You know, what kind of a alien study takes thousands of years? There has to be something else. There has to be another agenda.
And the agenda, you think, is these entities, I'm trying to understand where they came from, what they're doing. I mean, they never.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could answer that entirely. Yeah. I wish I knew all those answers, but let's examine for a minute what we know.
What do you suspect?
Well, I suspect that these beings are not just simple aliens, but they are what maybe the better word would be gods or angelic beings. I don't know, but I think that they are able to intervene in the human evolutionary process and into the evolution of all life forms on Earth. I think they were responsible for seeding life. Even the discoverer of the double helix of DNA, Francis Crick, Nobel laureate, wrote a book in 1981 called Life Itself, in which he speculates about the origins of DNA. And he says DNA was not an accident. It didn't happen by accident. It's too complicated. The odds against that are unfathomable. And he also says that DNA did not evolve, that there is no there's no evolutionary process for DNA. DNA is the same today as it was in the first fossilized bacteria that we know about 3.5 billion years ago. And also now NASA's telling us that they have found fossilized DNA, fossilized bacteria that are just like Earth bacteria that have come from outer space. So DNA is not from here. DNA is alien. DNA is so complicated that it could not have been created by accident. Well, what that tells us is that there are some very intelligent beings someplace that were able to use nanotechnology to create the DNA molecule, which then morphs itself into every living thing. And I don't think our minds are capable of grasping how intelligent such beings have to be able to manipulate energy and create matter and create the DNA molecule.
Are you not ruling out that these beings came from somewhere else, literally, or are they from another dimension, or do you just not know?
I don't think anybody can really answer that question. I have to leave that open. It's possible that they came from other planets. I think that if that's the case, they're maybe a billion years more advanced than we are, not just a few hundred years more advanced. Certainly, by our standards, they appear to be godlike. They control the human mind. They control us at will. They can intrude upon our lives at any time. But I also believe that there are those among them that are trying to awaken the human race, trying to raise our consciousness level, actively trying to waken us up to the global catastrophe that we're heading toward with this global warming. This has been something that was that people have been warned about who've had alien contact, if we want to call it that,
yeah,
for many, many years. In fact, the last chapter of my last book, The God Hypothesis, is all about global warming and the warnings that many humans around the globe have gotten from these beings, that we are in really big trouble on this earth and that we need to change our ways.
So have you come to the conclusion that this is all omnipresent with all of this contact, that everybody has the same, these godlike beings have the same goals, or there's a mixture going? I mean, Jim Sparks talks about one group, the Keepers.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you think there's more than one group?
Well,
is there good and evil, or is that a relative term we can't even apply?
I can't apply good and evil because it requires making a judgment about something that I am not qualified to make a judgment about. I can say that what my belief is from studying ancient texts is that there are those who are here to confuse and separate us and create conflict, and there are those who are here to unite, to teach us about that we are all one, and to create enlightenment. And it's up to each individual soul to work his way through that complex and determine how his behavior is going to be on this planet. Because when we die, I think that is the ultimate abduction. We go to a place where these beings review our life. They tell us what we've done wrong and what we've done right. And if we don't measure up, if we have not learned how to love unconditionally, if we have not led righteous lives, then what they do is they send us back again to try to atone for what we did wrong, to make up things that we did wrong, or to learn things that we didn't learn. And it's the cycle of reincarnation, and that's one of the biggest secrets that's been kept from the human race by religions and by scientific institutions and by educational institutions. And it's something that I feel that is part of my mission to tell people about.
Basically, most of us are reincarnated because most of us probably don't reach whatever goal we're supposed to be.
I think that takes a long time, yeah.
Yeah, and so
many lives.
So what you're saying is your research and your efforts, you find that there's probably a little bit in traditional Christianity and in spiritualism and in other religions.
Judaism.
They all seem to be mixed up. They've got part of the story.
Yeah.
But not all of it.
Well, I think that the holy books have been edited by committees of old bearded men that we don't know. They're anonymous to us because they existed thousands of years ago. And these committees decided what was going to be acceptable doctrine and what wasn't. And it was decided that reincarnation was not acceptable, and that was an issue of control because religion has been used to control societies. And people believed in reincarnation that they wouldn't behave in this lifetime because then they knew they could make it up in another lifetime. I think it's the opposite. I think when you know that you've got to come back, if you don't do it right, you try real hard to get it right.
Interesting discussion here. We only have a couple more minutes or so. What do you you know, you're pretty firm on what you believe at this point. I think you're what do you base this on? Basically, the hypnotherapy regressions and the stories.
I base it on. I've done a lot of research aside from the UFO phenomenon. I've really pored over the ancient texts, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Gnostic Gospels, the Sumerian texts, the Vedic literature. You know, I try to put the UFO phenomenon in a context of human history. And when you do that, you see a great, huge picture that extends all the way back into Aboriginal times and beyond. But it also has to do with what I have found in using past life regression therapy on individuals and what I found when I did my own past life regression.
And do you know much about your past life?
I talk about it in my book.
Okay.
Which is published by Galdi Press and available on the internet.
Well, he obviously was a book plugger in a previous life. No, didn't he? Yeah, no, it's very good. Got a third book coming out?
Oh, God. It took me 10 years to finish this one. So, I don't know.
While we're talking about the future here, what is the plan for these godlike creatures for us, just to make us better? I mean, it looks to me like they could intervene on global warming.
Well, they could, but we'd just screw it up again, wouldn't we?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I don't think their plan is to intervene. I think their plan is to watch their experiment come to its conclusion, and whatever that conclusion might be. But I do see beyond the horizon a new age on its way, coming towards us, or we're going towards it. And I think this new age is going to be populated by humans that have reclaimed their roles as immortal, enlightened spiritual beings.
Reclaimed.
With psychic abilities.
Yeah, you felt we've had that at one time or
another. Oh, yeah, I think that we truly are that. I think that these bodies were designed to limit our sense of perception. And we are truly like blind men trying to grope around on this planet, trying to figure out where we are and what we're doing here. And but in truth, we are immortal souls, and we live in a non-physical dimension, and we just happen to be in this body at the moment, experiencing what it's like to be separate from God and from the One.
Well, what do you make of the vehicle sightings, the UFOs themselves?
Well, they're quite remarkable. I've had a number of sightings myself, and I've seen a lot of remarkable videos, and they certainly lead me to believe that they are interdimensional vehicles, that they are not spaceships in the way we think of spaceships, that they do not really fly through the air, but rather create a force field around them that exempts them from the physical laws. I really see them as portals to other dimensions.
We're going to have to leave it there. It's an interesting book, I'm sure. I know the first one was, and this one's by Galdi Press. And you did such a good job. Plug the title one more time.
Okay, it's Rulers of the Earth by Joe Lewells, and it's published by Galdi. That's G-A-L-D-E Press, and they're on the internet, and you can buy them through their website.
That's right. And they happen to be a sponsor of ours too, so
yeah,
they can click on and order it right here.
It was introduced here this weekend at this conference for the first time, and they sold out in the first 30 minutes after I spoke. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest in this book.
And so in other words, you feel that you speaking at these UFO meetings like this, you have an audience that's open to what you're saying.
Much more so than maybe 13, 14 years ago, when everybody was more concerned about propulsion systems and the hardware and all that, and now they're beginning to see that there's another dimension to this that is maybe more important.
It's always interesting. Thank you, Joe. This is Jerry Pippin. We'll be back with more shows from the end of the Ozarks at the Eureka UFO Conference. Actually, the Ozark UFO Conference at Eureka Springs. We'll be back. Thanks a lot. Our own location producer has been Roberta Scott. The lovely Jane Swartley has been our post-production editor. Until next time. Oh, not bad. Roberta's lovely, too. I got myself in a jam here. It's time to go, folks. Cheers.